Kate Sinikovich's meeting with her uncle, at which she pleaded for his assistance in removing the unwelcome attentions of Sir Mulberry Hawk, these which fell on deaf ears, was observed by Mr. Newman Noggs. This gentleman was deeply affected by the young woman's unhappiness, and that instant dashed off a note to Nicholas in Portsmouth. Hurry back to London now, tonight, as fast as you can. And whilst he waits for Nicholas's imminent arrival, Noggs hurries round to see his old friend.
Noggs, for Miss La Creevy.
Oh, bless me. Mr. Noggs, sit down. Sit down at once, sir. You're in such a hurry.
I will. Thank you. Have you seen Miss Nickleby lately?
I have been away. I have seen nothing of her at all. I thought of calling on her, but this Mrs. Wititterly seems so... But I didn't want to interpose myself. But tell me all the news. I rely on you, my friend. How is the old rough and tough monster of Golden Square? How is he behaving himself?
Oh, be damned to him.
Gracious, Mr. Noggs, you terrify me.
I should have spoiled his features yesterday if I could have afforded it. I was very near to it, and I know one day I shall do it before I die.
I shall scream if you don't compose yourself.
He little thinks I know. He little thinks I care. But I've written to Nicholas. Oh, yes, I'll thwart him. I, Newman Noggs, will cast him down.
Lashing himself to a pitch of fury, Mr. Noggs jerks himself around the room and then sinks breathless to a chair.
There, that's done me good. Now I'm better, and I'll tell you about it.
Which is exactly what Newman proceeds to do, relating the whole of Kate's interview with Ralph Nickleby. And though little Miss La Creevy's indignation is not so violently displayed as Mr. Noggs, it is scarcely inferior in violence and intensity. Indeed, had by chance Ralph entered the room at that moment, he would find Miss La Creevy a more dangerous opponent than Newman Noggs himself.
I never heard such a thing. Goodness me! God forgive me for saying so, but I really feel as if I could stick this pencil into him myself with pleasure, or even...
Fruit knife?
Thank you. Yes.
Well, Kate will be leaving her present position after tomorrow, which is a comfort.
She should have left weeks ago.
If we had known, but we didn't. Besides, nobody could properly interfere except her mother or brother, and the mother is weak, poor thing, and the brother... Well, he'll be here tonight.
Hot alive, Mr. Noggs. If you tell him everything at once, he'll do something terrible.
Perhaps I might remove the apple?
Oh, of course. But depend upon it, if you're not very careful in telling him, he'll do something to his uncle or to one of these men that will bring down some tragedy on his own head. He's a fiery young man. I should hate to see him standing in the dock.
True. And Ralph Nickleby would willingly put him there. I hadn't thought of that. I came here to ask you to take in Kate if Nicholas brings her here, but...
This is more important. The situation. None of us can foresee how it might end. You must be so very careful.
What can I do? If he starts talking about shooting them down, I'll have to say, certainly. Serves them right.
No, he must have time to cool down before he acts. Last thing at night. Tell him then, so he can't go rushing off.
The coach will get into town by 5 or 6. If he comes straight to me, what can I say? I can't lie to him.
Then you must be out on business, so he can't question you.
Then he'll come straight here.
But he won't find me. As soon as you go, I'll visit Mrs. Nickleby and take her off to the theatre, so he can't even find her.
Are we doing the right thing?
We are saving him from himself.
London at last. It seems to me as though we can never get it. Come on, Smike, wake up. We have much to do.
Nicholas leaves Smike at the coach inn and makes straightway for Newman Noggs' lodgings. There is a fire in the grate, a candle, the floor is swept, meat and drink on the table, but no Noggs. Rushing downstairs, he speaks to the landlord, Mr. Kenwigs, but no news of Noggs. Then to Miss La Creevy's. Same tale, no one at home. And on to the house in Thames Street.
Come on, where are you?
But no Mrs. Nickleby is to be had there.
And yet the message said at once, urgent, hurry back. What to do?
He has scarce had anything to eat or drink since early morning and is becoming quite worn out and exhausted. And so finds a restaurant, on a street off Park Lane.
Expensive. Still, I must eat if I'm to think clearly.
It is a handsomely furnished place, richly carpeted, hung with superb mirrors. Nicholas takes a seat, picks up a newspaper, and waits to be served.
Gentlemen, I would like to propose a toast to one of the most delightful girls I've ever met, little Kate Nicholson.
The words catch Nicholas's ear. How can they not? He turns, makes out a party of gentlemen across the room.
No, it can't be.
No, I was right. Who is the man?
Little Kate Nicholson. A true Nickleby, a true Nickleby. Just like her uncle Ralph, eh? She hangs back to be more sought after, so does he. Nothing to be got out of Ralph unless you press him, and then the cash is there.
Always handy when you need it.
What about the mother? Very soft, sir.
Of course, they do say the old woman is jealous and is going to lock up the wench. Still, that won't bother us, eh, gentlemen?
Won't bother you.
No one can do anything with the old fool. Why, even Verisov can twist that one into compliance.
Nicholas cannot believe what he is hearing, and yet as he listens, the recital goes on, and it becomes clear they are talking about his sister, and in such a way as no man could stand by and listen for a second longer.
Let me have a word with you, sir.
Who's this, sir? Some boy or other. With me, sir.
I said with you.
A mysterious stranger, upon my soul. Verisov, fill my glass, there's a good fellow.
Will you step aside with me for a few minutes, or do you refuse?
Thank you, Verisov. Now, you, sir, state your business, or, go away.
Here is my card. My name you will see. My business you will guess.
Well, you're right, I think this wine has been rather long in the bottle. Corked, perhaps. Order another, very soft. And someone remove this piece of card.
Your name and address.
I do not hand them out to anyone.
By God, he don't, neither.
If there is a gentleman among you, he will acquaint me with the name and address of this man. I am the brother of the young lady who has been the subject of your conversation. I denounce this person as a liar and name him a coward.
That bottle arrived, yeah? Well, uncork it. Now, as for this fellow, let him talk. I have nothing serious to say to boys of his station. His pretty little sister shall save him a broken head if he talks till midnight.
You are a base, a spiritless, a cowardly scoundrel. And I will know you. I will follow you home if you walk the streets till dawn.
For a moment, Sir Mulberry Hawk reaches for the wine bottle as if he might use it as a weapon. Then he pauses, smiles, and speaks to a waiter.
We are being bothered by this person. Please tell him to behave, and if he cannot, please have him removed.
Nicholas walks back to his table where he sits, arms folded, biting his lip, perfectly quiet.
Young puppy.
Should have thrashed him.
I've come to it yet, eh?
And there he stays, sitting an hour or more, until Sir Mulberry Hawk walks to a mirror, looks into it, walks to the door, pulls on coat and gloves, and leaves. In a flash, Nicholas follows him. Outside waits a private cab. Sir Mulberry makes for it.
Here, wait! Now, you! Will you make yourself known to me?
I will not, damn your eyes. Stand out of my way. This is my cab.
If you trust to your horse's speed, you'll be mistaken. By heaven, if I have to, I'll hang on to your football.
I'll horsewhip you if you do.
You are a villain, sir.
For all I know, you're an errand boy.
I am your equal in birth and education, and you're superior in everything else. You were talking about my sister. Will you or will you not answer for your unmanly conduct?
To a gentleman, yes. To an errand boy, no. Now get out of my way or I'll grind you down. William, let us go.
Out there! You are not leaving until I know who you are.
Sorry, I'll damn you, William. Let go, sir, I'll whip you.
Who are you?
Damn you!
Sir Mulberry brings his crop down upon Nicholas's shoulders. The young man snatches it from him and strikes back, laying open the side of the other's face from eye to lip. The cab lurches forward and Nicholas is thrown to the ground.
Wait! Who are you, damn you?
Don't be alarmed, Newman. There's no harm done beyond what a basin of water can't make good.
No harm? What have you been doing, Mr. Nicholas?
I know it all. I've heard part of it and can guess the rest, but before I do anything else, I need to hear everything from you, my friend. It's all right. I am calm.
Oh, you look it. Your coat's torn, you're limping. I can see you're in pain. Let's clean you up now.
I'm not hurt beyond a little stiffness, but if I were, if I'd fractured every limb, you wouldn't bandage one of them until you'd told me everything.
But
everything!
Very well. Sit down.
And Newman does. He tells him everything, so far as he knows it.
And Kate is...
at this moment, at Mrs. Wittitterly's house.
She can leave at any time, I dare say.
She may forfeit her quarter's pay.
That is neither here nor there. Miss LaCreevy will look after her until somewhere can be found, where she will be safe.
Of course.
And my mother is still
at Thames Street. It is to be hoped that by now Miss LaCreevy will have opened her eyes to the true nature of Sir Mulberry Hawk.
Tomorrow morning, first thing, I shall collect them both. Meanwhile, I have a letter to write to my uncle.
Oh, yes. I dare say you do. A letter I shall, if I may, have the honour of delivering.
You shall, Newman. Now, a pen, paper, and then I will attend to myself.
Nicholas applies himself to the letter, finishing and sealing it shortly. Mr. Noggs takes it and tucks it safely into the band of his hat. The next morning, whilst Nicholas is on his mission of mercy to Kate and his mother, Noggs lays the letter, with the other post, on Ralph Nickleby's desk.
You are known to me now. There are no reproaches I could heap upon you which would carry with them 1,000th part of the grovelling shame that this assurance will awaken even in your breast. Your brother's widow and her orphan child spurn the shelter of your roof and shun you with disgust and loathing. Your kindred renounce you, for they know no shame but the ties of blood which bind them in name to you. You are an old man, and I leave you to the grave. May every recollection of your life cling to your false heart and cast their darkness on your deathbed.
Ralph reads this letter twice, frowning heavily. Then he begins to muse and drops the letter, though he clasps his fingers as if he holds it still. After some moments, he looks up furiously, as if to ask Newman Noggs why he lingers, what he is looking at. But the clerk has his back turned and is bent over a column of figures and seems to be looking at nothing at all.